the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. This is Eric Larson, and once again joining me is the Corn Verification Program Associate, Mr. Nolan Stapleton.
Glad to be here.
Good deal. Well, today we're going to talk about the corn crop is now entering the tasseling stages. Obviously, this is a very critical growth stage and time of the year. So today we'll talk about why this stage is important and focus on some of the most frequent questions that growers pose to us relative to this growth stage and what's occurring right now.
So on the way over here, we did get a phone call asking about a top dress application. Their concern was, if that application is late, how will the crop respond to it?
Well, if you were caught this week where you didn't get your nitrogen top dress applied, your corn is reaching the tasseling stage, and otherwise the crop is completely healthy, you've already applied, for example, probably 70 to 80% of your seasonal nitrogen, the crop is healthy, and this is intended to be a supplement to bring the rate up to speed, the crop is going to respond extremely well and be just as responsive to an application next week or sometime within 10 days of tasseling as what it would have been this week. So there's really nothing to worry about in that respect. The time when the nitrogen application top dress really needs to be applied prior to tassel is if the crop is basically deficient in nitrogen, it's sick, and it needs to recover before that time period. If that's the situation, then obviously applying that nitrogen fertilizer and correcting that deficiency before the critical tasseling stage is very important. But for most of our growers in the state, that's not going to be the case. Their crop is already healthy, and they're just looking to increase the total amount of nitrogen applied to their crop and make sure they have enough to finish the growing season out. So they still should be in great shape.
Okay, now I know we're receiving some rainfall right now, but over the last several weeks, we had abnormally hot, dry weather. And after this rainfall event, how would the weather affect yield potential?
Temperatures have a significant impact on corn yields, but high daytime temperatures, although they will increase water demand, really don't affect corn yield potential very much. It's high nighttime temperatures over an extended period, beginning at tasseling and early reproductive stages, that does have a tremendous impact on corn yields, with lower temperatures greatly enhancing the yield potential of corn. High nighttime temperatures will increase the respiration rate to the plants, so they'll burn up more energy sustaining themselves, which reduces the energy that's necessary and needed for those ears to fully develop and produce as large and a greater number of kernels necessary to produce high yields. So low nighttime temperatures are the key climatic factor influencing yield potential. Overall, you know, sunshine, low nighttime temperatures, and moderate environmental conditions are the key factors to produce high yields.
Apart from these environmental stressors, we're also getting some questions about short corn. How is the height of this corn going to affect yield?
Well, first of all, I'd advise, I guess, that folks pump the brakes a little bit. The corn is just tasseling this week, so it may be a little bit too early to get a good reflection of what the overall height may be. When the corn plants do tassel, it will reach its maximum height, though. But I would say that every week when we visit our corn verification fields, we do record the growth stage and record the plant heights. And we've seen no indication this year so far that the corn is going to be any shorter than normal. So this is a question that we often get every time this time of year. Doesn't necessarily play out where the corn is shorter, but there are some factors this year that we think that may cause some of the variability in plant height that we see in the field and may lead to shorter corn. And number one, probably early planting normally contributes to shorter corn because that corn goes through all its vegetative stages when it's cooler and, most importantly, wetter like it was this year. Both wet soils as well as soil compaction obviously can stunt corn vegetative growth and lead to shorter plants, and especially the compaction. We harvested a lot of our crop last fall when soil conditions were wet. We oftentimes establish raised beds during the spring this year and were forced to do so when soil conditions were wetter than what we would have liked, planted during wet conditions, and maybe side dressed during also conditions that were likely to lead to some soil compaction. So we certainly expect to see more soil compaction, and that's probably where a lot of the variability in plant height and certainly the waviness look of plant height in fields may be coming from. The other management factor that, of course, could significantly reduce height is delayed or missed nitrogen applications, or perhaps even the dry weather that we've had the last several weeks causing nitrogen that was applied or top dressed not to be effectively incorporated in the soil profile. Mainly, I think it's going to be a combination of early planting, cool conditions, and wet conditions and soil compaction that may limit plant height, particularly in some areas of a lot of fields.
As far as yield potential goes, how will shorter plants affect yield?
It may not affect it at all, I guess. And the key thing to keep in mind there is not that short plants are the most important parameter to evaluate, or that's important in terms of a yield factor. Plants that are shorter normally have less leaf canopy and less ability to intercept light. And light interception is the key factor which affects yield potential and photosynthetic capacity of the plants. And I'll put it this way, I guess. A lot of the highest yielding corn in the United States is grown out in western Kansas, western areas in Texas, where they have a very harsh climate in some respects, where the corn doesn't get more than 7 foot tall. But if you have the leaves required to intercept the light and produce high yields, you will produce high yields. So you don't carry any stock to the elevator, I guess. You only carry the grain. So plant height in itself is really not that terribly important.
Oh, that's right. And when you talk about light interception, what would your goal be? Like when you step into the field, what would you hope to see as far as light interception goes?
That's an excellent tool or thing to think about, certainly an excellent question. Optimum light interception for corn is 90%, probably 90 to 95%. So, you know, you or I or any of y'all can go out in a cornfield during the middle of the day when the sun is overhead after the corn has tasseled. And what you're looking for is basically to see how much sunlight is reaching all the way to the soil. You want to have no more than about 10% of the sunlight reaching the soil surface. If you're intercepting that amount of sunlight by the crop canopy, that's all you can ask for.
What are some ways that producers can manage this light interception in the field?
Unfortunately, there's not anything you can do during the growing season. There are a few things to think about, possibly affect that light interception in the future. Probably the biggest tool that you can utilize to affect light interception is changing your row pattern. Narrow rows will help you more efficiently intercept that sunlight. That's why, you know, most of the Corn Belt region of the United States that focuses exclusively on corn and soybeans transitioned to 30-inch rows a number of years ago. In our wide row systems, we're going to have a little bit more difficulty intercepting the available light. The other things that you can focus on without changing that row pattern, it's a select hybrids that may be a little bit taller and certainly have a lusher canopy. We've got corn hybrid demonstration program plots around the state looking at the top hybrids that are available in the market. Feel free to contact us or your area or county extension agents, and we can direct you to those sites where you can make direct comparisons of the key hybrids in the state to help you select a better hybrid for next year. The other thing, and probably the least effective tool that you can use, is increase your plant population. Most of us try, especially in our irrigated corn, we already plant it to a optimum or a relatively high plant population, but by increasing your seeding rate, obviously you put more leaves in the field and potentially could intercept more light but where they're already crowded relatively close together, the amount of benefit is not going to be quite as effective as probably those other things that we've mentioned previously.
Those are some great tips.
Well, thank you once again for joining us for another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. This is obviously a critical time for corn productivity. We hope you are blessed with enough rainfall, sunshine, and moderate temperatures to ensure a great finish to the 2019 crop. Please be sure and subscribe and follow us on social media, and we look forward to joining you on a future episode.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.